Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
peace and love. We give thanks to the Almighty Yah for the opportunity to perform for you today. We want to thank Robin Applewood, Dogman Joe. Give it up. Give it up for the Sheba Warriors band. This is Queen Makeda coming to you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take me from the land of Ham, but I am Shem. Love that. I love that. Shalom, family. Shabbat shalom. Matter of fact, I believe we are in the door of the Shabbat right now, and the Sabbath has started. The sun is down. The sun is down. Welcome to Kol Elohim. I'm your brother Ariel here at Elite Culture in Baltimore, Maryland, coming once again with another appetite, another meal that Abba has prepared for us to see what is his judgment is all about, what is his wrath is all about. And prayfully at the end of this, we'll understand the judgment, first and foremost, that Abba puts on Israel. Because that's the way it turned. It turned from just that broad thing, and he just narrowed it down for Israel. And there's a reason why he narrowed it down to Israel. There's a reason. And we're going to find out some of that, hopefully, tonight. Somebody give me a shout-out or a thumbs up or something. Let me know I'm coming through clear. Let me open up with a prayer before we get into the lesson and me just start talking in and talk about my day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Abba Yah, once again, for bringing us to your Shabbat, Father. Thank you for allowing me to talk about your word, Father. Allowing me to be used by you, Father. Allowing me to bring forth some understanding, Father, through you, Father, through your Ruach HaKodesh. Father, thank you, Father. Father, I want to ask that you bless all of those who put their hand to your Shabbat, Father, all those who understand that this is the day of rest, Father. This is the day that you said way back in Bereshit, Genesis, Father, that you had blessed it, you had sanctified it, and you set it apart, Father. So we thank you for that, Father. I ask that you touch all me right now, Father, that you continue to bless them and strengthen them, Father, for the task that is at hand for them, Father. For all the elders, Father, that you keep them, Father, that you touch them where they're hurting, Father. Reassure them, Father, that you will always be there, Father. Reassure them of that, Father. The Akotis, Father, the Emus, Father, the Yaladid, Father, all of Yisrael, Father, allow them to understand that you will always be on that throne. You will never be removed from that throne, Father. All we have to do is cry out, Abba. All we have to do is humble ourselves and seek your face, Father. And you will be there, Father, just like the prodigal son. Strengthen Yisrael, Father, for the task that is at hand, Father. For it's not just the people that had that task, Father. It's all Israel, Father. You said a nation of kings and priests, a royal nation, Father. So that job for the teach your word, Father, goes out to all Israel, Father. But it's those who are set aside, Father, who have the heavier burden, Father. Strengthen those, Father. Those who name I ask. Amen. Hallelujah. That a wonderful thing that they are faithful, that they are able to sit down and the shoes and just relax. Just relax. I sit here as I was able to sit and put the lesson together as Abba was giving it to me yesterday and just reading through it and going through it today, and this heavy sleep came out of nowhere. It's heavy sleep, and like, I'm tired. And that's all I can remember, just, I'm tired. I just want to lay down and go to sleep. I remember where my eyes got so heavy, which I do understand what happened. You know, the spirit of slumber comes on you. Whenever you have to do Abba's will, the spirit of slumber comes on you. You know, I remember talking to all of them. They up all night. First thing I tell them, pick up the word and read. Pick it up. Just read. I guarantee you, you'll get tired. I guarantee you, your eyes will get heavy. And everybody else who listening to me, y'all can attest to that. But what I thought about as I sat here and as I got real tired, I thought about what Yahushua said. And he said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And though my mind started running and started to dissect that, you know, to really get an understanding of what Yahushua is saying, you know. And that's where my mind, that's where Abba has been taking me lately, to really dissect the word, to really understand what is being said, to really get, just to know what he's saying, to understand it, to be able to apply it. You know, what spirit is weak? I mean, what spirit is willing and what flesh is weak? You know, we know and understand that we have the Ruach HaKodesh, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. If you had took baptism and you accepted Yahushua, you got the Ruach, you got the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. That spirit right there is the spirit that's willing. Is willing to do Abba's will. But it has to fight this flesh, our flesh of ours. Because that's what gets tired. Our flesh gets tired. Our flesh do not want to do what Abba need us to do or Abba asks us to do. So every now and then we got to refresh this flesh. We got to refresh everything. Because even thinking about what Brother Shlomo said, Solomon, he said, much studying is wearisome to the flesh. It's wearisome. You know, and it's almost like the flesh, it can't take all that. It can't take the bombarding of the Ruach, of the Holy Spirit. You know, which one day it will. And the more that we go through and the more that we, Torah Aki, Torah, brother just sent me, said I sound good. And the more that we walk in this way, the more that we deny this flesh, the stronger we get. And, you know, our master, Yahushua, it happened to him. So he come to understand that, you know. As soon as he said, when he came back out there, he saw Kepha and them sleeping, and he asked them to stay up with him. And then he came back, and they didn't fall asleep when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said it. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. But he gave us an example because he got back there. He got back down on his knees and started praying for Abba to take this thing away from him. But he beat that flesh. That flesh got weak at that moment. But the spirit overrided. Not my will, Abba. I'll be. That's when he's strong. That's when the Melech and the angels came and ministered to him. Because once we say, not my will, but thy will, not me being tired, not me wanting to make an excuse, but let me do what you want me to do, Father. And that's when those Melechim come and they start ministering to you. The same thing that happened to Yahushua happens to each and every one of us. Once we say, Father, but I want to do your will. He will give you that strength to do it. Father, I've been beat down these last couple of weeks, and life has just been piling on and piling on, but I want to do your will. And that's when that strength comes in. That's when you keep on going. That's when a just man may have fallen 7 times, but Yahweh uphold him with his right arm and his right hand. And that's when he do the same thing for us. He upholds us more times than we know. I would say, like the old adage, when we see the picture with the footsteps, and it's 2 sets of footsteps, then you see 1 set of footsteps, 1 footstep. That's when Abba was crying. And I believe, what I know and understand, that it's more times that he's carrying us than we are walking beside him. More times. But as the time that's coming, that's here, that we got to start walking on our own. We got to start not allowing this flesh to get so where it's tying us down and beating us up. We have to start walking on our own. And that's when we become into that full maturity, that full relationship. When he can let us go. Witnesses, we got testimonies of that through the scripture. Brother Eliyahu, Elijah, he didn't say because of Abba. He didn't say because Abba Yah. He didn't pray, Abba Yah, don't let it rain for 3 days. He said, for my word, it won't rain for 3 days. Abba let him go. Abba had to, but he was walking on his own. It's come a time when you come to that relationship with the Most High where you walk on your own, where you understand who you are and whose you are. So you walk on your own. I don't have to hold your hand and walk all the time. Just like Brother Shaul, when the vagabond Jews in the back, they knew who Brother Shaul was. Them demons knew who he was. They said, Yahushua, we know. Shaul, we know, because Shaul was walking on his own. Our most humble, Moshe, and Deborah, Deborah Moshe words. He started walking on his own. He understood who he was and whose he was. Need walk in the hand of the Most High. And Abba said, go ahead. You're good. You're good. And you go through the line. Just let your mind run through the Torah. These brothers, they came, and these sisters, they came to an understanding that I don't always need you to hold my hand, Father. You can trust me. So, I don't know where it came from, but somebody needed to hear that. Somebody needed to hear that. That's that next level stuff that Abba is trying to get us to get to. Walking on our understanding. Understanding. And our minds comb through the scriptures. Israel. Let our minds comb through some scriptures, the word is for us to learn. The word is for us to mimic, to come to an understanding that Abba, Brother Shaul said it, when we wean from the milk. When I was a child, I talked as a child. I needed my hand held. I needed you to walk with me, Abba. There's a time I would need us to walk on our own. Not saying we ain't going to slip up and mess up. That thought don't have to come in nobody's mind. But you know how the enemy works. He's going to put that in your mind. He's going to put that thought in your mind. But sometimes, got to tell that enemy, get back. Get back. And he's going to look in your face, and he's going to see that Ruach, the authority that Yahushua gave you. He's going to see that. And he's going to go, he's going to flee like the scripture said. He's going to flee from you. Because he's going to see the authority. He's going to see, but trust and believe, Once he know and understand that we are coming into that understanding that we have the authority, that we can walk on our own 2 feet, that we don't always need our hand, that we came into that perfect relationship with the Most High. He's going to throw everything at you. Everything. We talk about that tomorrow, too, though, because we back at it tomorrow, too. We back at it tomorrow. But let's get into this judgment, family. I don't know where that one comes from, but hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all know I got my opening scripture always, and it is in Yeshayahu. Those who have their word and want to follow along, Yeshayahu or Isaiah 58:1. Hey, and before I read this, family, my brother came home. Hallelujah. I want to give the Abba Yah a thank you for allowing my brother to come home after 15 years. I haven't seen him leave. Between 12 to 15 years, I haven't seen my brother die. And it was good seeing him. Got a little bit of FaceTime in with him. Good seeing him, talking to him. Hallelujah. Toda Abba Yah. Thank you. May you keep and bless him, Father. May you keep him. Cry aloud. Don't spare. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their disobedience and to the house of Yaakov their sins. And I always, because the way we're going, and the thing that, because it's coming always back full circle. And then I asked Abba, good, that's the thing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Look, y'all see that? House is turned and turned off, and my phone just dropped out of the blue. Yeah, Rebbe, yep. Look at him. He don't want that to go out. He don't want us to come to that understanding who we are. He don't want us to come to know that we don't have to have Abba walking with us, that we can walk in that power alone in this world. We can be Mashiach on this earth. But he can't stop it. He can't stop. I'm going to cut my line off. That's all right. Let me get back into that. Where was I? Yeshayahu 58:1. Cry loud. Don't spare. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their disobedience and to the house of Yaakov their sin. To the house of Yaakov. And the thought that I was running with, that Abba was giving me, that this thing has, I realized that I always talk about war. I don't care what the lesson is. When I sit back and think about it, it's always about war. It's always about Israel being what Israel's supposed to be. Abba's battle wax in this world. It always go back to that. Always go back to that. And through my spiritual leader, Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel, my first one, I never forget that lesson he taught us about warfare. I got that around here somewhere. I just got to go down to the basement and find it. I believe I'm supposed to bring some of that to Brother Mattia. And he said, whenever you're in enemy's land, A soldier never put down his weapon. If you are in the enemy's land, a soldier never put down his weapon. See, not even when you go to the bathroom, you cannot put your weapon down. And come to understand that we are at war constantly. And it becomes physical, and most importantly, we all know that it's spiritual. But we are at war. And Israel was formed for that one reason, to be Abba's battle axe. To be his battle axe at the end of the day. And we're going to win some battles, we're going to lose some battles. But you know what? We're going to win the war. We're going to win the war. So Abba, allow us to lose some battles. Why? So we can learn. We can learn. But we got a lesson tonight, and let me get into the lesson. Hopefully I'll get to finish it tonight. And we ended up last week at this scripture right here, and it is Matityahu 13:3. We ended up here because we talked about Yahweh's judgment and the wrath of Yahweh. And we in chapter 2, lesson 2. And we talk about his judgment. And one thing, we won't get into his wrath, but we think we on his judgments now. And one thing that we did learn, that a judgment is a sentence either against you or for you. Now, sometimes that judgment that's against you can still be for you. Now you're sitting there, somebody sitting there like, oh, my brother, how you gonna get that? How you feel that? How's that judgment against you, for you? How are you being punished at this time, but later on it's gonna be for your benefit? And we know that. We know and understand that. And to use my brother as an example, Darius. I remember back in 83 or 84, and Darius was away at Montrose. He was away at Montrose. But the gang that Darius hung with was a couple of guys, older guys around the way, and, you know, they was up to no good. But that was the gang he hung with. That was his gang. And this gang, with some four other guys, they end up coming in Holland Park. I don't remember if y'all knew that back in 83 or 84 when everybody was wearing the NBA jacket. I remember sitting in class, and they shut the building down. Police was everywhere. And the guy named DeWitt Duckett got killed. Now, he was in high school, but he had an NBA jacket. And matter of fact, he wasn't in high school because I was in the 7th grade, I believe, or 8th grade. And he was in there, and they came, guys that Darius hung with came in, and they shot him over his NBA jacket. And I remember my mother saying that I'm glad Darius was where he at, because he would have been with them. So sometimes that judgment, it helped him. Because if not, he would still be in prison today, because all those guys are still in prison today. I believe maybe one got out. And that's Andrew. I believe he was about the only one that's been out so far. But the rest of them, these brothers were 16, 17, and maybe the oldest was 17. Been in prison since. And one, they call him Big Al. And the Big Al offered a, what's the little cartoon that come on Comedy Central? If you ever seen that little cartoon, you know what I'm talking about. Come on, the Big Al on there, that's why they call him Big Al. But when he was home, he was straight as the word. But now they call him Big Al. So that helped Darius. Why? Because these young kids, teenagers, going into that big house, that wasn't nowhere for these kids to be, but they was doing grown-up things. And my mother said, I'm glad he was where he at, because he would have been right with them. He probably would have never seen Al brother again. But hallelujah, Yahweh sees the future for everybody. Hallelujah. Matityahu 13:3. He spoke to them many things in parables, saying, behold, a farmer went out to sow. And if you look that word sow up, it talks about scattering. You know, so we're going to go through some scriptures where Abba scattered Israel. And Abba is this farmer. But at the end of the day, we're going to understand why he scattered Israel. Why? First, we do understand that Israel was disobedient. But it's much more to that than them just being disobedient. We're going to get to it, though. So we're going to read some, go through some scriptures that talks about Israel's disobedience, and Abba said he's going to scatter them. Let's go to Deuteronomy 32. Eight. We're going to read down. Deuteronomy 32, starting at verse 8. And some of these I didn't have to. Yeah, I just read it. I put it all in there because it tells the whole story. We want to tell the whole story. That is Deuteronomy 8 for those who may not know what Deuteronomy is. When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the children of men, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. And that right there, we ought to stop and think. We ought to stop and we ought to start dissecting that, understanding what is Moshe talking about. What is Moshe, through the unction of the Ruach HaKodesh, through Yahushua, speaking to him, moving on him, as the scripture says, holy men spake as they was moved by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. So he's being moved by the Holy Spirit. So a question should come in my whole life, man. Who is this Israel? And why is it that the rest of the nation is based off of them? Their numbers is based off of them. Why is that? Question, who is this Israel? How important are they to the Most High? I'm going to read the last part again. He set the bounds of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For Yahweh's portion is his people. Yaakov is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, in the waste, hollowing wilderness. He surrounded him. He cared for him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. And we're going down to verse 26, family, for those who like to write things down. As an eagle that stares up her nest, that flutters over her young, he spread abroad his wings. He took them. He bore them on his feathers. Yahweh alone led him. There was no foreign God, Elohim, with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth. He ate the increase of the field. He caused him to suck honey out of the rock, or out of the flinty rock, butter from the herd, and milk from the flock, with a fat of lamb, rams of breed of Bashan, and goats with the finest of the wheat. From the blood of the grapes you drink wine. But Yeshurun grew fat and kicked. You have grown fat. You have grown thick. You have become sleek. Then he abandoned Elohim, who had made him, and rejected the rock of his salvation. They moved him to jealousy with strange Elohim. They provoked him to anger with abomination. They sacrificed to demons, not Elohim, to Elohim that they didn't know, to new Elohim. Matter of fact, let me read that right. To new God that came up recently, which your fathers didn't dread. Of the rock of whom became your father, you are unmindful, and have forgotten Elohim, you have, who gave you birth. Yahweh saw and abhorred it because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. He said, I will hide my face from them. I will see their end will be. For they are a very perverse generation, children in whom is no faithfulness. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not a God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. I will move them to jealousy with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And he did do that. For a fire is kindled in my anger that burns to the lowest Sheol, devours the earth with the increase and set the foundation of the mountains on fire. I will heap up evils on them. I will spend my arrows on them. They shall be wasted with hunger and devoured with burning heat and bitter destruction. I will send the teeth of animals on them with the venom of vipers that glide in the desert. Outside, the sword will bereave, and in the rooms, terror on both young man and virgin, the nursing infant with the gray-haired man. I said that I would scatter them afar. I would make their memory to cease from among men. So you take that last part right there, the last scripture, Yahweh said, I'm going to scatter y'all. I'm going to make y'all memory to cease. I'm going to make men not know who you is, Israel. But so you run over to Psalms 83, and it talks about all these nations, but it starts off talking about how they're going to make the name of Israel no more a remembrance. And the only way they could do that is from this scripture right here, because out of it, I'm going to do that. But you know what? I'm going to allow them to do it, but it's on my will. It's because of me. It's by my will that they have the power over you. It's by my will that your name going to be blotted out, that men won't remember who you are, Israel, that you won't remember who you are. Because it started off saying, Israel is my inheritance. But we didn't do some things, and we were so wicked and evil and disobedient to the Most High. He said, men won't remember who you are. And we won't remember who we are. Let's move on, family. Let's go to another one. Let's go to Jeremiah. That's Jeremiah 9, 15 and 16. Jeremiah 9, 15 and 16. Therefore, Yahweh of armies, the Elohim of Israel, says, behold, I will feed them even this people with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them among the nations whom neither they nor their fathers have known. I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. And we know we didn't read all these scriptures. We know we come to that understanding a good while ago. Some of us did anyway. But then again, it might be somebody online who have not. So let's go to Yeshayahu, and that is Ezekiel 22:15-16. I will scatter you among the nations and disperse you through the countries. I will consume your filthiness out of you. We read a scripture, I believe that was in the introduction, and I wish I could find it. But prayerfully, if you heard it, it'll come back. Where Yahweh said that he in this scripture, I will consume your filthiness out of you. He said he punished us. He did all this to us, and we still didn't live. He's like, man, I punished them people in vain because they so hard-headed and so stiff-necked. But did he really? Because we read that too. you will be profaned in yourself in the sight of the nations. Then you will know that I am Yahweh. Listen to what he said. Let me read it to you again. I will scatter you among the nations. Is not Israel scattered throughout the whole world right now? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We are scattered throughout the whole world. And for my brothers and sisters who speak the 400 years, yes, we have the 400 years, but you can't just narrow it down to one nation. And 99.9% of them, when you hear them, they're talking about just one nation. This nation right here, they're talking about this one. This is spiritual Egypt. No. The whole world system is spiritual Egypt. The whole world system is Babylon. That's it. Period. Because when you go back and read in the book of Daniel, it talks about this fourth beast that spread it throughout the whole world. Spread it throughout the whole world. And it's a system. It's not just one country. So we can't narrow it down to one country and say, we in spiritual Egypt right now. We in Babylon right now. No, it's this whole world system, which is Babylon. The whole world system. And Israel just not in United States of America. He said in his own word, throughout his word, through many scriptures, that I will scatter you throughout the world. Again, that we keep coming up with this one nation right here, and we done. We done. But that's another topic. I will scatter you among the nations and disperse you through the countries. I will consume your filthiness out of you. You will be profaned in yourself in the sight of the nations. Then you will know that I am Yahweh. You will know that I am Yahweh. The question is, what are we talking about? A sword that went out to sow, right? Remember, we started off talking about that. Who is the sower? Yahweh. He is the sower. We know and understand that word, that when you go back and read in Matityahu 13 and you go through the whole parable, you're talking about the word. But who got that word in them? Who got it in them? Let's go back. Let's ask ourselves, what is the second greatest thing that's ever happened to mankind? And I'm saying the second greatest thing. Wherever you at, think about that. Think about what is the second greatest thing ever happened to mankind. You know mankind, you know, they got seven wonders of the world. And ain't none of, in them seven wonders of the world, neither nothing in Israel. Nothing about Israel about these seven wonders. But man got seven wonders. But what is the second greatest thing? And I'm saying the second, but when some of y'all hear, oh, that might be first. No. The very first greatest thing that ever happened to mankind is Elohim walked this earth. Yahweh himself walked this earth. The Most High that created every single living thing in this world walked this earth. And that is a stumbling block to a lot of Israelites. A lot of those who supposed to know. Because when we talk about the second greatest thing, they can't imagine that was in flesh walking among us. But count yourself worthy of understanding that Yahushua HaMashiach is Yahweh Elohim. He is the one that talked to Moshe in the burning bush. He is the one that created everything. We know what Yochanan 1:1 say, and all was created by him. Nothing was created without him. That is the greatest single thing that happened on this planet, that the Most High Yahweh walked in flesh. And that is a stumbling block for a lot of our brothers and sisters out there. They can't fathom that. They can't understand that. But again, count yourself worthy, because just like he told Brother Kepha, flesh and blood have not shown that to you, but my Father in heaven have shown that to you. So count yourself worthy that you know who he is, that you know who he is, and more importantly, that he has chosen you to know who he is. Very few people in the world truly understand that. But the second greatest thing that ever happened to man, if you haven't figured it out yet, when the Most High talked to a nation of people, when the Most High spoke to a nation of people, is the second greatest thing that ever happened on this planet. Now you understand and know why Hasatan tried so hard to discredit the word. He tried so hard to discredit it. I can't allow that type of knowledge to be free. So he confused the people's mind. But the second greatest thing that ever happened is the Most High spoke to a nation. We know he spoke to Moses, but a nation heard and saw the wonders. We talking about the one that when he say he speak, things happen, that his word that do not return unto him void. We allow the imagination that Abba gave you to expand, to dissect, to really see that event. We talking about the one that when he spoke life, life came into existence. When he did go through the 7 days of creation, he just spoke it, and they heard his voice. Imagine what they'd done to their bodies, what was infused within them. When they heard it, something was in them, in their loins, as we was in the loins of our forefather Abraham. But that's not, that is nowhere near a small thing for the Most High Yah to speak to a nation. No other nation, no other people can claim that. Although they're trying to steal it, they're trying to take it, but it was our ancestors, our people that he spoke to. And we bring it up today, we wonder why we on top of everything that we still surviving, we still doing this. We are so great in things that we don't even try to be great in. People follow us, even in our foolery. People follow us. They love everything about us but us. Everything and thing about a black person, they love it. Love it, they love imitating it, but they hate us. And they can't understand why they hate us. But they love everything about us. We influences the world. Now you know your children down there influencing the world to do bad, to not follow you. But once that thing get infused, and it only needs these 12 of them to blow up the world, to infuse the world with my knowledge, but that thing been set in them at the foot of Mount Sinai, in their loins, in their spirit. It's like, and Abba know, it's like when Neo finally got that power and he was able to see the matrix for what it is in the computer form. He was able to see that. That's how Abba see us. He is able to see who is his. And then on top of that one right there, yeah, he was sent down for a mission. He was sent down for a powerful. He didn't get sent down to be sent down. No, he got something to do. Just like he told our brother Jeremiah, I knew you before you was in your mother's womb. So he knows that. He can see that. And he allow us to go through this life. But it's something that's in us that wakes up and come to understand, Abba. It wakes up in us. To his disciples, go ye out and tell the whole world about me. The Great Commission, we know, I understand what it is. We know that. And there's 12 men and some others. And some others, because we know he had some more. But for the most part, 12 men set the world on fire. The number one seller in the world, and people still don't understand it. They got it, and they have no clue on what it really is. What it really is. It is a book of strategy. The art of war, right here. This is the art of war right here. People can't even, they don't understand that. Oh, is this the book? Read the Bible. It's going to be so loving and caring. Oh, and you're just going to feel like the tulips. You're going to be skipping through the tulips. I'm always talking about this word with my coworker. And my coworker was telling me about an incident. She's from Sierra Leone. And, you know, they Muslim. But she didn't have one. She had on a long dress and something. And she just stopped by a Muslim mosque to see her aunt, to drop something off for the aunt. And she said one of the ladies, her aunt, scolded her. She said, pull up at the door and scold her. You know better coming in here dressed like that. Why would you come up in here? You know, I ain't had no problem with that. I wasn't going to say, oh, well, she was right. You wasn't supposed to go up in there like that. You wasn't. She said, but I didn't have on nothing revealing. But you know how they dress. They head to toe. And her aunt scolded her. And she said, I didn't say nothing, but she embarrassed me. She shamed me. And she said, you know, they use JC. JC, he would never do that. Hold up now. The Most High, I mean, the JC, you know, may not do that. I said, but the Yahushua that I know, the one that's in the Bible, son of the living Most High, oh, he's going to get you. Oh, he ain't going to come with you soft. He ain't speak soft. I said, that's that Western mindset that they been fed into the minds about the Mashiach, the Messiah. Because, you know, with them, I try to keep it right there. I try to keep it with the Messiah so they can understand. Because most Christians understand who the Messiah is. I said, that's that Western mindset of the Messiah. But the Messiah I know, he's going to cut you short. He ain't played. He ain't. His tongue did not get bit when he spoke. If he had to speak the truth to you, it was unadulterated. He will shame you. I said, ask Kepha or Peter how you think he felt when he told him, get behind me, Satan. I said, that's that Western mindset of Messiah. No. Go through. I said, you know what? We're going to read this. We're going to go through, and I'm going to show you how he was straight up. He ain't bite his tongue. He wasn't no soft man. He was straight up. And especially for those that supposed to knew his word. Look how he came. As a matter of fact, I told him about that. What's the brother that came to him at night? That got my mind. Oh. But he came to him at night. Look how he came at that brother. Hold up, man. You're probably a teacher in Israel. You don't know these things? We have to come to the understanding and realize the tone of the word. It ain't that what you see with this Catholic stuff or this other stuff. Oh, it ain't none of that. The tones of the word of these men went up and down. They spoke with fire. They spoke with fire. So it came out like this. Hold up. You're supposed to be a teacher. You're supposed to be a learned man in Israel. You don't know this? You're supposed to be above the layman. You're supposed to know. Teacher of the law. Play no games. He ain't play no game. And you know what? My rabbi was like that. Both of them. I remember I was sitting in there, and Rabbi Gershon Ben Daniel, I said the wrong thing, and he got on me bad. And I thought I was fresh in the door. I probably about 4 or 5 years. He said, he like, what? Get in and think before you talk. I felt like a 2-inch man in there. Because he jumped on me out of nowhere. Like, think before you talk. I'm like, oh, my goodness. But it broke something. It helped me to understand that I need to think. The word of Yahweh, you just picking it up and just run your mouth. Hey, think. If he asks you a question, he wants you to think about it. What he wants you to do, allow that Ruach, allow that spirit to run through the word. Don't just open your mouth and start talking. Because up there, he going, hey, Rabbi Lenny T, Rabbi Yaka LT, he got on him. Yeah, you, what? And you understand, it's not them at that time. It's Abba. It's the Father. Because you understand, holy men spake as they were moved by the Ruach HaKodesh. They standing up there in that pulpit, they are being moved by the Ruach HaKodesh. So any of us, I'm going to say this, any of us who are sitting there and that word come out like that, we cannot take it personal. What we have to say, that's the Abba. That's my Father. He's trying to prune me. He's trying to get something out of me or something off of me. We can't take that word personal. You know how we used to do? We walk away and say, you know what, though? That was one of them sermons that was directed towards me. Yes, it was. Every sermon should be directed towards you because I was trying to get us right. Every sermon. Service, you are coming to be pruned. You are coming to get your marching orders. And when you get out in this world, that's where your marching orders and your duties take place. But when you come to service, you're coming to get pruned. So every service is for you. For us. Let me say that. For us. Because if we believe that Yahweh is there, we believe that man is speaking. Yahweh is speaking through that man. Let me move on, family. So the second greatest thing, we're talking about judgment. We're talking about Abba went and he scattered Israel throughout the world. He scattered Israel throughout the world because he will understand that something is implanted in Israel. And he know and understand that there's only going to be 1/3. All of Israel. You know what? We could take the story of Gideon, and we can take that, and we can say that's Israel. That is the nation of Israel. That is the Israel of Yah, as Yahkel loved to call it, the Israel of Yah. We take that story of that 300, that third. That is the Israel of Yah. That's what he needs in this world system. That's it. That's it. He understood. And those who lapped up like a dove was Israel. Those that he asked before we go to war, if you're scared, go ahead home. It's Israel. But those who did not lap up like a dove, but stuck their hand in the water and brought it up to their mouth, that is the Israel of Yah. Period. And it was only 300. Started out with what, 20,000? Ended up with 300. We can take that story and then we can bring it up to date and say, that's what Abba is doing. Matter of fact, I can close my lesson because I've been told the whole truth and what it is and why Israel. Why? But we ain't going to do that, fam. Y'all know. We ain't going to do that. We're going to finish this lesson. We got a few more scriptures to finish out. But that is the Israel of Yah, that 300. That is what Yahweh's building right now. Right now. Why? Because there's a vast army that's circling Israel. And he needs just that few to show his greatness, his glory. Because that's what it's about at the end of the day. It's about Yahweh's greatness and Yahweh's glory. So let's go. We're going to finish building on this. Why Yah? Why Israel? Let's move to Romans 11. Romans 11, family. We need to read this too. Let's start at verse 11. And we're going to read down the 24. I could have just went to the one scripture, but I need the whole point. We need the whole point so we can see the whole picture. I asked them, did they stumble that they might fall? And think about what we just talked about. Think about the Israel of Yah. Think about the ones that lapped up like a dove. Think about the ones that were scared. Now, but you know what? We got to get that. We got to really see that. There was some that were scared. That was still Israel. Abba was still on the throne. There was some that got down and lapped up like a dove. And then there was an Israel of Yah. Food for thought. Food for thought. I'm going to leave it right there. Just meditate on that when you get a chance. I asked them, did they stumble that they might fall? May it never be, but by their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Remember, we already read in Deuteronomy that he's going to turn to a foolish nation to provoke them to Gentiles. I mean, to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if their fall is the riches of the world and their loss the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Israel family. For I speak to you who are Gentiles, since then I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I glorify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and may save some of them, for if the rejection of them is the recounseling of the world, what would their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the first fruit is holy, so is the lump. If the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partakers with them of the root and of the richness of the olive tree, don't boast over the branches. But if you boast, it is not you who support the root, but the root support you. Amen? Amen. You will see then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. True, by their unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by your faith. Don't be conceited, but fear. If Yah didn't spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. See then the goodness and serenity of Yah toward those who fell. Serenity, but toward you, goodness. No, excuse me, family. Severity. Severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Now, like our brother Shaul broke that down. They also, if they don't continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For Yah is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the which is by nature wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more will these, which are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So we know and understand that. We've been read this before, for those who haven't. Gentiles are running around bragging about, it ain't about Israel no more, it's about us. But Shaul had to come and pull them up. Hold up, man. That's not what I'm teaching y'all. I'm y'all apostle. Y'all got it twisted. I'm not teaching y'all that. I don't know where y'all getting this doctrine from, but that's not what I'm teaching y'all. Let me break it down for you. Because of Yahweh's mercy, because he said that he will be a light to Israel and a light to Gentiles, and right now the whole nation cannot grab on to Yahushua. The whole nation can't accept him. Why? Because if the whole nation accept the Messiah right now, there would have been no salvation for nobody else in the world. So I've allowed that hardness and that stiff neck to run. He allowed them not to see Yahushua, but he chose a third of Israel to believe and see who Yahushua really is. But they are the natural branches. You being a wild tree, you're not the natural branches. But how much more benefit it will be for the world if the natural branches will graft the back in. And that's the point we're getting to. How much more benefit to the world? That's why we went through that. What was the greatest thing that was second greatest thing that was done? Why? Because I would know and understand who Israel is, no matter where they are. You know who they are. How much more better it would be for this world if the whole nation of Israel, which you know is not, but that third grew just a little bit. That third grew just a little bit. How much better it would be for the world. Now go to Leviticus, Wa'ika, 26, 40 through 42, family. If they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers in their trespass, which they trespass against me, and also that because they walk contrary to me, I also walk contrary to them, and brought them into the land of their enemies. And there, if then their uncircumcised heart is humbled, and they then accept the punishment of their iniquity. See, that's what the thing that the quote unquote black community do not understand. We understand that we're being murdered. We understand that we can't even walk down the street and speak to one another. We understand that every other nationality hates us. Some of us understand that anyway. Some of us don't know why they hate us. Because the last clause in this scripture just said, we have to confess our iniquities. We have to come and say that we sinned against you, Abba. Voting, not going to help. The government, not going to help. Any other religion, not going to help. Only what Yahweh have given Israel is going to help. And that's his son, Yahushua HaMashiach. That is the only thing that's going to help Israel. Nothing else. Nothing else. Then I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, and also my covenant with Yitzchak, and also my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. I will remember the land. Let's move on. We got a few more scriptures to go, friend, because we come to understand why Israel was scattered and who Israel is, why they are so important. So let's go on to Baruch. And that's Baruch 2, starting at verse 29, family. And we're going to read down to 33. If you will not hear my voice, surely this very great multitude shall be turned into a small number among the nations where I will scatter them. And if you go to Ezekiel, Ezekiel 5:12, it talks about that very thing, what he just said. Ezekiel 5:12, if you go there, when he said this very great number will be will be small number among the nations. You go to Ezekiel 5:12, he talks about the exact same thing, how it's only going to be a third of Israel saved, a third of Israel left. For I know that they will not hear me, because it is a stiff-necked people. But in the land of their captivity, they shall take it to heart, and shall know that I am Yahweh, their Elohim, and I will give them a heart and ears to hear. And they shall praise me in the land of their captivity, and think upon my name. And I shall return their stiff neck, and from their wicked deeds, for they shall remember the way of their fathers, which sinned before Yahweh. Again, we want us to call back to mind, why are we in this situation today? We got to remember the sins of our fathers. And we, as the Yaladi, cannot the children repeat those sins. Repeat those sins. One more scripture, family. We're still in the same book of Baruch. We're just going to go over one more chapter. And we're going to starting at verse 8. We're going to read it on out. All right, because it's one point. I could have just read the one thing, but you know what? Some of this stuff we're going to hear about tomorrow. We're going to hear about this, some of this tomorrow, for those who listen, and those who will listen. Behold, we are yet this day in our captivity, where you have scattered us for a reproach and a curse, and to be subject to penalty according to all the iniquity of our fathers, which departed from Yahweh, Almighty One. And that right there, to be subject to a penalty. To be subject to a penalty. You want to know why we in a condition? We were disobedient. We are under the curses. Our forefathers that were, that is. Shema, O Yeshua, the commandments of life, give ear to understand wisdom. How is it, O Yisrael, that you are in your enemy's land, that you have become old in a strange country, that you are defiled with the dead, that you are counted with those who go down into the grave? You have forsaken the fountain of wisdom. For if you have walked in the way of Yah, you should have dwelled in Shalom forever. Learn where is wisdom, where is strength, where is understanding, that you may know also where is length of days and life, where is the light of the eyes and Shalom. Who has found out her place, and who has come into her treasures? We're going down to 38, family. We have verse 16 right now. Where are the princes of the heathen and such as rule the beasts that are upon the earth? Those who had their pastime with the fowls of the air, and those who hoarded up silver and gold, wherein men trust, and of whose getting there is no end. For those who wrought in silver and were so careful, and whose works are past finding out, they are vanished and gone down to the grave, and others are come up in their stead. Young men have seen the light and lived upon the earth, but the way of knowledge have they not known. Neither understood they the path thereof, neither have the children laid hold of it. They are far off from their way. It has not been heard in Canaan, neither has it been seen in Timnah. The sons also of Agar that seek understanding, which are in the land, the merchants of Moran and Timnah, and the authors of fables, and the searchers out of understanding. None of those have known the way of wisdom and remember her path. O Yisrael, how great is the house of Elohim, and how large is the place of his possession. Great has none end, high and unmeasurable. There were the giants born that were famous of old, great of stature and expert in war. Elohim didn't choose these, nor did he give the way of knowledge to them. So they perished because they had no wisdom. They perished through their own foolishness. Who has gone up into the heaven and taken her and brought her down from the clouds? Who has gone over the sea and found her and will bring her to the choice goal? There is none that know her ways, nor any that comprehend her path. But he that knows all things knows her. He who found her out with his understanding has that prepared the earth forevermore, has filled it with four-footed beasts. He that sends forth the light and it goes, he calleth it and it obey him with fear. And the stars shine in their watches and were glad. And he called them, they said, here we be. They shine with gladness to him that made them. This is our Elohim, and there shall none be accounted of in comparison with him. Excuse me, family. He has found out all the ways of knowledge. Let me go back up. Let me read 35 again, because remember, Israel. This is our Elohim, and there is none other be accounted in comparison of him. He has found out all the ways of knowledge and has given it to Yaakov, his servant, and to Israel, that is beloved of him. That right there, we read all that just to get to that. Just to get to that knowledge, that wisdom, the understanding. He gave it to Yaakov. But listen how it closes up. And to Israel, that is beloved of him. All Israel is not beloved of him. But remember that Israel of Yah. Go back to what we talked about, the story of Gideon, and how it was just that little bit, that third, that Abba used. All he needs is for us to say, not my will, but thy will be done. And it's game on. It's game on, Israel. Well, Adam, at the end of tonight's lesson, go back for it, comb through it, allow your mind, because I know we went moving kind of fast and a lot that we talked about. So go back to it. It's in the archives. You can go back. But Israel is Yah's battle axe. And he gave us his wisdom, his understanding, the Israel of Yah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's close out with a prayer, Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once again, for your word, Father. Thank you for your Sabbath meal, Father. Thank you for your word. May all who listen to it glean something that you need them to hear, Father. You speak to their ruach, Father. You break through. Because you know if man do it, it only goes but so far. But if you do it, it hits home. Because you say it again in your word. Your word do not return unto you void, Father. So you speak to their ruach. May all those who listen be blessed and kept by Abba Yah. In Yahushua's name we pray. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael. Amen. Until tomorrow. I mean, until the later on today.
let him come and steal our joy. Yes, it's true, we all fall short, but still that gives us no excuse. The enemy is fighting you, just tell him to prepare.
More.